thing I should be doing. Deep. Claire walks through the front door just as I reach the last stair. Her arms are loaded with rings of fabric swatches and catalogs. Need some help, Mom? She is transformed. One simple word has wiped 5 years from her face. I always thought it was Claire who held all the power. I was wrong. I am taken with how beautiful she is, and feel shame that I have withheld the treasured word for so long. She sets her armful down on the hall table. I can get it, Jenna. Her voice is soft, my name sounding like a question mark. I step down from the last stair. We stare, our eyes on an even plane, like we're holding something carefully between us. Something. Suddenly I feel dizzy, like I'm stumbling. Is this what moving on feels like? I back away. I can't do this. Something's not right. But I owe her. I know I owe her. My hands shake. My vision flashes. I try to steady myself. I shove my hands into my jeans. The key. It's still there. It is hot against my fingers. Do you mind, then, if I go for a walk? I've been inside all day. She hesitates, then nods. But don't go far, she says as she walks to the kitchen. When she's out of sight, I open the front door, then close it again loudly so she will think that I left. I concentrate on my feet, trying to step as lightly as I can, and I creep down the hallway to her room. I will put the key back before she misses it. I begin to fold back the spread from the corner of the mattress, but a thought stops me. Hurry, Jenna. There might be time, if I hurry. I turn toward the closet and listen for sounds coming down the hallway. None. I pull the key from my pocket. It slides into the lock with a soft rasp, and I hear the tumbler turn. I ease the door open slowly, willing the old hinges not to squeak. The room is cold, dark, barely illuminated with a faint green glow. I feel for a switch but can't find one. My eyes adjust quickly to the dim light, and I see the source of the hum. Computers. 3 of them. They sit on a narrow table in the small, dark room. They're oddly shaped, each a 6-inch square block, much larger than a home computer, and each is connected to its own battery dock. Why not just run them off house power? I step closer and I see a small white label on the middle one. Jenna Angeline Fox. I rub my hand across the label, soaking the name in through my skin. Jenna Angeline Fox. I should have asked long ago. It makes me feel whole. A beginning, an end, and a middle. Why is it that the unknown is always so frightening? Angeline. I close my eyes in the darkness and whisper the name. I feel my feet on the floor, my place in the world. I belong here. I deserve to be here. How can a middle name do all that? Are the details of our lives who we are, or is it owning those details that makes the difference? I open my eyes and examine my computer. I wonder what's on it. Schoolwork? Letters to friends? I feel a surge, like a jolt of energy has shot through me. History. My history. It should be in my room. I try to lift it from the table, but it's secured with a metal bracket. I work to pull it loose. One rivet pops out, but the rest stay secure. I pound at the bracket with the heel of my hand, throwing the full force of my weight behind it, but my hand slips and slices into the sharp edge. Pain rips up my hand, and I fall back. But just as quickly, the pain is gone. I hug my hand to my stomach, afraid to look. I know the slash is deep. If Mother had a meltdown over the tiny cut on my knee, I can't imagine what she'll do when she sees this one. A trickle of blood oozes through my fingers. I will have to retrieve my computer later. I step out of the closet, lock it, and hurry to my room, trying to slip silently upstairs. I go to my bathroom and lock the door behind me. How bad could it be? It was only a little piece of metal. I hold my hand over the sink to spare the floor, but thankfully the blood has already stopped flowing. A 3-inch gash runs from the fleshy part of my thumb to my wrist. I'm surprised that it no longer hurts. Will I need stitches? I pull the flesh apart to see how deep the wound goes. It is deep. What? How? Oh my God! I can't think. Deep. Blue. The stairs rock. Sway. I clutch my gashed hand to my stomach. The other gropes at the stair rail. Only a small smear of blood stains my shirt. So little. And it's barely red. Is it red at all? My feet stumble on the stairs, and I fall down 3 at a time. Jenna? A distant call from the kitchen. More stairs. And no pain. My hand doesn't hurt. The hallway rocks, and the doorway sways. Mother and Lily are framed in light at the kitchen table. They stop their conversation. Stare at me. Mother focuses on my shirt, the blood stain. She begins to rise, but a single word from me stops her. When? Jenna, when were you going to tell me? I yell. I shove my hand out in front of me. What is this? Mother's hand comes to her chin, half covering her mouth. Jenna, let me explain. Lily rises. You should sit down, she says. She steps behind her own chair and offers it. I sit down because I don't know what else to do. I look up at Claire. What's wrong with my hand? I lay it on the table and spread the gash apart with my fingers. The skin lies on a thick layer of blue. Blue gel. Beneath that is the silvery white glimmer of synthetic bone and ligaments. Plastic? Metal composite? Mother looks away. What happened? I ask. My voice is a whisper. It was the accident, she says. The accident. Was it cut off? Mother reaches out. She lays both of her hands on my arm. Jenna, darling, tell me. It was burned. Terribly burned. I look at my other hand resting on the table next to the gashed one. My other perfect hand. The perfect hand that won't lace right. The monster hand. I look at Mother. She looks like she's crumbling inward, caving like a terrible weight is pressing on her. What about this one? I ask, raising my other hand. She nods. Oh my God. I look down, the world disappearing beyond the circle of my lap. I'm suddenly so cold. My skin that has never felt right instantly feels foreign. I hear Lily move to the other side of the table, the scraping of a chair, the sigh as she sits. It all pounds in my ears. My hands twitch. I look at them. Can I even call them my hands? I turn to Mother. Is there anything else? The tears flow. Her face is desperate. Jenna, what difference does it make? You're still my daughter. That's all that matters. My clumsy feet. My legs. Oh, God. No. Stand up, I say. I rise to my feet. Mother looks at me confused. Stand up! I yell. She stands, inches from me. We look eye to eye. We are the exact same height. How tall are you, Mother? I whisper each word distinctly, like a string of knots in a rope I am clinging to. Jenna? She doesn't understand. She doesn't know what I've seen. In the last video that Lily told me to watch where I blurt out my height, fear twists her face. She doesn't answer. How tall are you? I demand. 5'7". I collapse back into my chair, shaking my head. Mother is mumbling, rambling, saying something that is all noise for me. I finally force myself to look at her. Tell me everything. What? She says, pretending she doesn't understand what I'm asking. She does. I see it in her eyes, a frantic backstep, hoping all this will go away. How much is me? Her lip trembles. Her eyes pool. Lily intervenes. 10%. 10% of your brain. That's all they could save. They should have let you die. I try to understand what she's saying. I watch her mouth move. I hear words. 10%. 10%. And then Mother is suddenly fierce. A lion, within inches of my face. But it is the most important 10%. Do you hear me? The most important. Pinned. I lie in my bed. I stare at the ceiling. Claire paces, leaves, comes back, pleads, informs. I listen, but I don't respond. Lily comes in too, watches, whispers to Claire, steps closer to me, leaves, and comes back. They don't know what to do with me. Father is coming. Claire called him hours ago. It is now the middle of the night, 2 a.m. He will explain it all, Claire says, when he gets here. He will make me understand. And yet she sits on the edge of my bed and tries to explain herself. You were burned so badly, Jenna. We tried everything. Even with all the temporary grafts, you were losing so much fluid. We had you stabilized for a few days. I was so hopeful. But then the infection set in, and we were losing you fast. The antibiotics weren't working. There wasn't time for a lot of decisions. Your father pulled me into a closet, Jenna. A closet. That's where we had to decide. He whispered to me the only possible way of saving you. We had to make a choice. Save you the only way we knew how, or let you die. Any parent in the world would have made the choice we did. Her hands knead the side of my bed. She stands, circles my room, returns to the end of my bed. We had you moved, immediately, to a private facility, a private room. All physicians on your case were dismissed, except for the ones who worked with your father at Fox Biosystems. The infection was moving so rapidly through you, your father actually injected you with the nanobots while you were in an ambulance en route to the new facility. They had to start the brain scan right away. Why? She stands again. Her face is alert, careful, bright. She's encouraged that I spoke. She shouldn't be. Your veins were collapsing. We weren't sure how much longer your heart could last. Blood circulation is critical for a good scan. They take at least 6 minutes. Vital organs were already shutting down. By the time they got you to surgery, your heart had stopped twice. They had the biogel waiting. They saved as much as was still viable. She comes close. White. She falls to her knees beside my bed and takes my gashed hand in hers. She holds it like it is keeping her from dissolving away. The butterfly, Jenna. That's what they call it. The heart of the brain. That you still have. And the rest? My memories? My history? Those aren't all in the butterfly. What is the rest? How am I remembering so many things? Nearly everything now. Except the accident. I close my eyes. I want her to go away. I don't want to talk about butterflies or hearts. I don't even want answers. I don't want her. I feel her cheek against my hand, her breath, her need. And then she slowly lets go and leaves. I open my eyes again. My room is dark. The silence of the house is a heavy blanket.